All right, I want to tell you one of my favorite Bible stories tonight. Does anybody know anything at all about a man named Gideon? It's going to be a great, great Bible story. But let me just tell you what was happening. God's people, you know, Moses had led them out of the land of Egypt and they'd come back into that promised land. So they had to have somebody to be the government over them. So they had judges to be the government. And these judges were men who were leaders. In fact, one of the judges was a woman by the name of Deborah. But whenever God's people would do bad, God would send the bad armies in and let the bad armies punish God's people. Because, you see, you can't do wrong without God knowing about it, right? And so whenever God's people would do wrong, he'd let these bad armies come in. They'd take away they'd plant their crops, you know, put their gardens out and try to grow whatever kind of corn they grew over there, wheat or whatever it was, and the animals they had. And these bad people would come in and they'd take away their crops, whatever they planted, and they got it all. They'd take their animals and their sheep and their horses and everything they had, took it all away from them. Well, when that happened, God's people started praying to God. And so God would always raise up somebody. Josh or Joe, if you can handle that, okay? God's people, the people would pray to God. And when they prayed to God, then God would try to raise up somebody as their deliverer. And that's what you called a judge. He not only was a man who judged for them, but he was a man who delivered them. And so these people, they would bow down. Well, back way up. They would, you're at the end of it. Go to the beginning, Joe. You're right at the end of it. Okay. And so they'd bow down and they'd pray to God. Well, they prayed and God said, okay, I'm going to raise up somebody. And an angel came all the way from heaven to the place where Gideon was. And this angel said, there they are bowing down. You see that? There they are. I'm sorry, Joe, you're right. There they are bowing down to God. And they're bowing down to God. And God sent this angel. And he says, Gideon, you are a brave, brave man. God said, I want you to go and beat these bad men. You know, they've been eating your food and taking all of your animals. Gideon, you're to be the very one that's to go over there and win this battle. And Gideon said, oh, give me some sign. Let me know for sure that that's what you want me to do. So Gideon took a goat and took this goat and laid it out there and took some broth like gravy. And he took some food like that, like flour. And he put it out there on the rock. And this angel was there and fire came up and burned up all of that thing, all of those things that were there. And so Gideon knew that he was supposed to serve God. In fact, this angel told Gideon, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take two bulls, bullocks, boy cows, okay? I want you to take two bulls. One of them's got to be 7 years old, and you go over there where these bad people have been worshiping these idols. You see that idol there with those horns coming out of the head of it and everything? And I want you to go over there, and I want you to tear that altar down that's over there. And they take the wood that was there that was a part of that idol, and you offer the other bull as a sacrifice on the altar. And so he stopped the people from worshiping this idol. You know, God had said, thou shalt not make any graven images. That means you can't make an idol. And the people had made idols, and God said, go over there and tear it down. Well, you know what the people did? Whenever they saw everything that had happened when Gideon had offered the bullock that was there, boy, they really, really got mad at Gideon. But Gideon still was going to do what's right because God had said, you are the one that's got to lead them and get away from all of these bad people. Well, guess what? Gideon ask God to give him another sign. You see what he's got in his hand? You know what that is? It's like sheepskin. It's called fleece in the Bible. And so Gideon said, God, if you really want me to do this, then in the morning, let the dew settle down on the fleece, on the sheepskin, and don't let it be on the ground. Well, guess what happened? The next morning, Gideon got up, and there was dew all over the sheepskin, and there was no dew on the ground. And he thought, wow. And he picked up that big sheepskin, and he twisted it up, and he got a bowl full of water to come out of it. It's pretty good, right? So Gideon says, God, can we do this again? But in the morning, let all of the ground be covered with the dew, but let the sheepskin be dry. And so the next morning, they got up, Gideon got up, and he went out, and there wasn't no water at all on that sheepskin. It was just as dry as it could be, and the ground was covered with water. And so Gideon sort of knew that God wanted him to be the one. So Gideon then goes and he looks at all of these armies that are there. Look how many there are. Look how many enemies there are. 120,000 of them. That's a lot of people, right? 120,000 people. You know, that is really, really, really a lot of people. It's just really lots and lots of people. In fact, you could put this building, you could probably fill up this building how many times? Maybe 40 times or more? Have 120,000? That'd be a lot of times to have people in this building, right? Wow. Well, Gideon got his army together, and so he sent out the word. That's everybody that's here. So Gideon got his army, and he only had 32,000. The bad guys had 120,000. That's a whole lot more, isn't it? You know what God told Gideon? Gideon, you've got too many soldiers in your army. Now, he's only got 32,000. The bad guys got 120,000. And God said, you've got too many people in your army. Let everybody that's afraid go home. And so Gideon said, anybody that's afraid can go home. And you know how many went home? 22,000 went home. Two out of every three of them was afraid. Fraidy cats. And they went home. Now he's only got 10,000. Now the bad guys got 120,000 and Gideon's only got 10,000. You know what God told Gideon? Gideon, you've got too many people in your army. So they went down to the river. And there were some people who got down on their knees and drank water like you see them drinking it there, sort of just bending over into the water. And there were some others who brought the water up to their mouth. And God said, everybody that brings the water up to your mouth, you put them in one place, and all of them that bend down on their knees and drink water like a dog would drink it, put them in another place. So he had 10,000, 9,700 of them got down on their knees. Only 300 of them got the water and brought it up to their mouth like this. You know what God said? Gideon, here's your army. Not the 9,700, but here's your army of 300 people. Gideon only has 300 people in his army. The bad guys have got 120,000. That's a lot, isn't it? That doesn't even seem fair, does it? 300 people against 100. How on earth would you beat an army of 300 of 120,000? So Gideon went out, and he knew that God wanted him to do it. And God said, well, if you want to know for sure, go down and listen to what they're saying in the camp. So Gideon and his armor bearer that went to where the bad guys were, and he went down there. And he heard some of those men down there, the bad men talking, saying that I had a dream last night that represented Gideon coming down and destroying us. Well, guess what? Gideon got ready to get his army together. He calls his army together, and look what he gave them to fight with. They already had a sword, so we won't talk about the swords that they had. You see what they got up there? They've got a pitcher. You see that? Just that jar? And then they had a torch. You see that fire the man's putting there inside that jar? And then they had a trumpet, something to blow. So Gideon went down to where the men were, and he put 100 of them here and 100 of them here and 100 of them over here, all the way around the camp. And Gideon says, when I give the signal, here's what I want you to do. In the middle of the night, here's what I want you to do. I want you to blow the trumpets. And man, when they blew the trumpets, they took those pitchers, and all of them broke the pitchers. Can you imagine what kind of noise that made? And they held up their torches, and see around on the mountainside back behind in that painting that's up there, see all the torches? Looks like there's thousands and thousands of Gideon's army. He only got 300. And boy, the men, those bad men, grabbed up their sword and they started killing each other. They thought, man, you know, we're going. Somebody's his army's down here, and it was dark and they couldn't see, and they started killing each other. So Gideon brought his army down, and those men took off running and running and running. And Gideon's army killed 120,000 of the bad guys. God's good, isn't he? God is really, really good. You know what they did? There those bad guys as they're leaving. There they are being beaten by Gideon's army. And the people came to Gideon and said to Gideon, we want you to be our king. Will you be our king and rule over us? Now then, do you think Gideon became their king and ruled over them? You got to listen to the next part of the sermon to find out. I'm not going to tell you right now. So when you go back and sit with your parents, I want you to listen to see if Gideon really became their king, okay? Then after worship tonight, I want you to tell me whether that Gideon really became their king or not, okay? You like that story? All right, as quietly as you can now, go back and sit with your parents, okay? There are some amazing lessons that come from reading these Old Testament stories. I'll tell you why I love the story of Gideon. And that is because Gideon is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. You know Hebrews 11? The chapter of faith. By faith, Abraham went out when he was called. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. And you read that great chapter of faith and you think, I'll never make it that way. You know, I don't have that kind of faith. I couldn't do that. If God were to tell me to do something like that, I'll tell you, just being honest with myself, I don't believe I could ever do something like Abraham did. But guess whose name is also in that chapter? It's Gideon. And if you struggle with your faith sometimes, I want you to understand that you are in the best of company. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 has some people in there that are actually surprises to me that they're like Jephthah, who offered his daughters a sacrifice. Samson, who whenever we say the name, all that comes is his immoral life with Delilah. And so it's comforting to me to read Hebrews chapter 11, and here is a man who heard from an angel a message from God, and God gave him a sign beyond all doubt. Whenever that fire came out of that rock and burned the food that Gideon had prepared to give to this angel, and yet he still doubted. I want you to understand that your life is not always a mountaintop experience. There are many valleys. I love mountaintops, don't you? I love it when my faith is strong and things are going great in my life and I get excited about all the great things that are happening, and there are not any real visible problems. They may be there, but they seem minor. I love mountaintops. But there are valleys in our faith. And there are those times when we struggle with our faith and we, you know, we even have trouble, you know, even sometimes coming to worship just because of a, you know, just because my faith is weak. But I want you to understand something about Gideon. He's just like you are. And so here's Gideon, and the Lord has already manifested that I am God, and you are my messenger. You are the one who's to lead this army. And the matter of the fleece, I read that story and I cannot help but just thinking about Gideon when he gave the first sign and the dew went on the fleece and not on the ground. You ever second guess yourself? Maybe he thinks, as I would, as I project myself into that story, now is that the way dew does? Does it get on the fleece first or does it get on the ground first? You know, does it attach itself to the wool that's there, or does it go to the ground? And God abundantly showed him when he wrung out a bowl full of water. And so Gideon may be second guessing himself. When Dan becomes Gideon, that's the rest of the story. Let's do it again tomorrow night, God, and you do it the other way around. Man of faith. That's the third sign he's received. The fire out of the rock that burned the food, the water on the fleece, and then the water on the ground and not on the fleece. Three signs from God. And now whenever he gets over to the camp of the Midianites, the Lord says, now if you still doubt whether I'm going to be with you, go down and listen to the message that's in the camp. And he hears a Midianite tell about a dream that he had of some bread that tumbled into the camp. And he says, and this is the sword of Gideon that's coming in. That's four signs. And so sometimes when your faith is weak, don't you beat yourself up to nothing. Because if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you see, there's no restraint with God, to use the words of Jonathan Swordbearer. There's no restraint, or words of Jonathan to the Swordbearer. There is no restraint with God to save by many or by few. And the smallest amount of faith, the faith of a grain of mustard seed, can move mountains. If I were to call by name the person that I'm about to describe from 20 years ago, many of you would recognize them. Their names are not really that significant. Lived out here in the acreage, and their little girl, was it, that drowned in the pond? Remember that member of that family, young couple, newly married, you know, just maybe 3 or 4 years been married. And as I drove out to the house, I thought, I do not know how they'll make it through this. I don't know that I could take the death of a child. And I knew that there were periods in their life, at least judging by how often they were attending worship, that they were in one of the valleys of their life. And I thought, will they make it? You know, they're still faithfully serving God to this very day, because the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And I shall never forget, at the funeral we sang, "It is well with my soul." And I shall never forget looking at them and watching them sing those words. That's faith. And there are those times in our life when our life tumbles in. But we need to understand that it's not the faith of Abraham that is demanded of us, because we may not have the capability of having the same kind of faith Abraham, but if we have the faith of a Gideon, that's all God needs. We've already emphasized the second point, and that is God can take just a little thing and make something massive out of it. Think of the army of 300 versus 120,000. The reality was that after the initial battle, there were some other Israelites that joined in to help destroy the Midianites. But you just stop and think about an army of 300 against 120,000. Absolutely impossible. But things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And we are no different sometimes from those disciples who heard Jesus say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom. And the disciples' reaction with that, that's an impossibility. The words they used to show that was their thoughts were, who then can be saved? They had it all figured out, and God, Jesus had so startled them with what he had said, they'd say, then it's not possible for anybody to be saved. How can a camel go through the eye of a needle? And Jesus answered it, was, things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I'd like to challenge you young people to write those words on your heart. I'd like for you to think about yourself, where you want to be 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. Spiritually, where do you want to be? And you set your heart with a dream that has God as a part of it, and the limits are the limits that you impose on those things. Don't you dare sell yourself short. Things that are impossible with men are possible with God. 300 versus 120,000, absolutely impossible. And yet it was reality. Now the third thing is, boys and girls, are you listening? They asked Gideon to be their king. And Gideon said, I will not be your king. You already have a king, and he sits on a throne in heaven. Gideon understood some things that the people later, whenever Saul became the king, and then David and Solomon, they understood some things that maybe, well, Gideon understood things they could never understand. You see, when the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt, he said, I have made you a kingdom of priests. That demands you have a king. And that king was God. Now, whenever they came years later and asked Samuel, give us a king so we can be like the nations that are round about us, Samuel was really, really upset, took it personally. And the Lord said to Samuel, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me that I should be king over them. And so Hosea describes what happened in these words, he gave them a king in his anger. The asking for a king was a denial of the kingship that sits in heaven. You want to know how far you need to get away from God? Come to that first century world and hear the Jewish leaders as they say, we have no king but Caesar. That's how far you can drift. And I want you to know that Gideon understood something about life that every one of us needs to understand, and that is God is on the throne. That Jesus is the King's King. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And the most important thing about that is, He is the Lord of your life and the King of your life. And I don't care how bad your life is going. You need to understand and remember that God's still in charge. God doesn't sit in heaven worried about how He's going to fix this or fix that or make this turn out all right in your life. He sits on a throne. Not the throne of an earthly king. Not a throne of all of the kingdoms on this earth. But when Jesus ascended on high, He became King of heaven and earth. And on a practical level, that means He rules this world and He rules the things that's happening in your life. And we must never lose sight of that. Gideon's a great story. Gideon's an example of what God can do with a man of little faith. Gideon's an example of how God can take little and do much with it. And the story of Gideon is a reminder of the fact that God sits on the throne. And may we never, ever forget that. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have enough faith that Jesus is the Son of God to make a decision tonight to serve Him? That decision is called repentance. And Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Do you have enough faith tonight to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He said, whoever confesses Me before men, him will I confess before the Father. And do you have enough faith tonight to be baptized? Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if you're here tonight saying, well, I believe, but I've never been baptized, you need to hear again the words of Jesus. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then having done that, just to spend the rest of your life living by faith, day by day, being faithful until the day that you die. And Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, and you do that, and I'll give you the crown of life. Figuratively, imagine Jesus taking the crown of heaven and sharing it with you. For you see, we too are in that sense, are a royal priesthood. To accommodate, use the language of the Old Testament in an accommodative way, we too are a kingdom of priests. If you haven't done that, then won't you do it tonight and let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?